Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. Welcome to the Wicked Anime Podcast. I am the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan, and with me is the hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Hello.
And we also have Glitch, the hippest man in his room.
What's up?
And also joining us. What? You're in your room.
Yeah, my dog's in here too, though.
So are you saying that your dog is cooler than you?
No, I have the hippest dog in the room too.
You do have the hippest dog in the room. He's a chihuahua. And we also have the fangirl Victoria joining us once again.
Hi.
And the anime noob Christine.
Hello.
Anime noob / PR person.
And noob may.
This episode, once again, you are joining us for Con Month. This is the second episode of Con Month for the year 2015.
It is episode 60 as well.
It is episode 60. They know that. They read the title.
I hope so.
And this episode, we are going to be revisiting the Con Survival Guide.
Yeah,
it's one of the easiest and one of our most entertaining topics
to talk about, I think. Yeah, it's so fun to talk about the Con Survival Guide because there's so many stupid things people do at conventions. We might be rehashing some of the ideas that we talked about last year,
but it was an entire year ago.
Shut up, you can be said again.
Yeah.
It actually was probably 2 years ago at this point.
I don't know.
Because I don't think we did a Con Survival Guide for our second year of Con.
I thought we did.
I don't think so.
Well, regardless, it's perfectly fine because there's always new things to talk about. There's always excellent stories to rehash.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. I love the survival guide.
Yeah.
And surviving cons.
It also helps. There's probably plenty of listeners who haven't even been to a con yet, so this is a good start on what to do when you go to one. And then there's also plenty of people who have been to anime cons, and therefore they should be able to throw in their 2 cents our way.
That is going to hurt our first con guide.
Yes. That's right. All right. So, first off, though, and before we get to all that, we're going to ring the news bell.
News.
Yeah, thanks. That was super enthusiastic.
I know.
And we're going to get into it. First off, right off the bat, our fan Mike, he actually sent us a story over Facebook because I think there's a good, 95% of the cast on the Wicked Anime Podcast who are vision impaired?
Yeah, I am.
Raise your hand if you are. I can't see your hands.
Wow, who isn't, actually? That's a shorter list.
In this cast that is on this podcast, we all wear glasses.
100%. I think other than that, it's James and Sean.
James
needs glasses.
He does. He won't admit it, but he does. Yes,
walking into walls and stuff.
Well, he doesn't drive, so he doesn't need to worry about crashing into cars.
He drives. He has his own car.
James has a motorcycle.
He's been driving for a while, guys.
Right. Remember he had a moped for a while?
Oh, yeah. God, don't remind me.
Hey, they're fuel efficient. Anyways, Mike sent us along these cool Sword Art Online design glasses. I'll put the link in the description for them. While they are Sword Art Online, designs, their color schemes and stuff like that, on the side, they don't actually have characters on them or anything like that.
I feel like they're more for wearing aesthetic glasses.
You put the fake glasses?
Yeah, you put like a glass, just glass
inside.
The hipster
glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think if I got contacts, I would still wear glasses. It's kind of part of my look.
Yeah. Well, I think that they look awesome. You guys should check them out. Link in the description. Anyways, moving on to the next media story. Did you guys see that Power Rangers short film that was going around the internet?
Yeah,
I have yet to watch it. I really want to.
Yeah, it was so dark and gritty and really cool.
Okay, so I will say it's really cool, but here's my take on it. And don't get me wrong, because it was made by the producers and the entire production team who made Dread. And Dread is one of my favorite movies of all time right now. Like, ever. It's right up there on the top of my list of, wow, that's a great movie. But I didn't really feel it as much for this Power Ranger reboot, just because I didn't feel like it was Power Rangers. It was more like a fan fiction of Power Rangers, you know? Which, yeah. I mean, which, essentially,
that's what it is.
No, that's what it was. It was a Power Rangers fan fiction. I just thought, like, the dark and grittiness, like, it didn't really work that well for me.
Well, that's because we grew up with Power Rangers when we were kids.
You grew up with campy. We all grew up with campy.
Yeah, but that's what Power Rangers is. That's what all Sentai is.
And see, and actually, I think the thing that bugged me the most about it, because overall it was really cool and really well done, but I think the thing that bugged me the most overall after watching the short was Bulk and Skull.
Yeah,
I did not.
Wait, were they in the short?
Yeah, they were in the short. Like, not Jason Narvi and, you know, they weren't in the short, but, like, the characters Bulk and Skull were in the short. And they just didn't fit.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it was just so. That was kind of like, when
they
showed
up. Shoehorned in.
Yeah, and it really didn't make sense. Because they're not, like, evil. Like, Bulk and Skull aren't evil. They're just, like, the bullies that were goofy. Like, they were comic relief villains.
Yeah, like, listen to their theme music. I mean, you know they're goofy.
Yeah, right? The tuba music?
Yeah, so when they show up with guns and kill the Red Ranger, it's like, what?
Well, they were under the spell.
Mm.
That was the whole point.
Yeah,
but,
I know.
But I think that my issue with the Power Rangers short was the fact that all the Power Rangers themselves were, like, terrible people.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not what the Power Rangers were about. They were selected because they had, you know, the courage to fight and everything like that.
Oh, teenagers with attitude. Look at the Power Rangers now. Like, they were kind of assholes.
Which Power Rangers?
All of them.
Like, are you talking about, like, the samurai and all?
No, like, the Mighty Morphin crew. Like, in certain aspects, they're kind of assholes.
The Dino Thunder team were kind of jerks, too.
Well, I don't know. I just think that, you know, it was still something like they...
Yeah.
That they're defenders of Earth. And I almost like a cliche superhero, you know? A cliche superhero can do no wrong.
Yeah. Dark and gritty, ooh.
Yeah.
That's how I felt about it. I don't know. But anyway.
Yeah, we got some reactions from the actual Power Rangers cast themselves. Most of them really liked it. People like Johnny Young Bosch and the girl who played Kimberly, her name escapes me right now.
Travis would know. Travis would know.
Yeah, see, they all really liked it. But,
I think it's Amy, too.
Yeah, but Jason David Frank, who played the Green Ranger, you know, Tommy Oliver...
Was not pleased.
He was not pleased, no. He even said himself that he's more of a PG-13 guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't really like the R-rated stuff.
Well, he's uber Christian, too, though.
Yeah, that doesn't change the fact that of their liking.
I mean, I watch rated R movies, so what? Like, yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, and, but, like...
Well, we don't have children, either, though, so we...
I guess that's true. But the other thing is, too, is that he thought that, you know, Power Rangers was a kid's show. Like, deep down in our... Power Rangers is a kid's show, and it's meant to inspire little kids to be able to grow up, be the best they can, be heroes, all that sort of stuff. And taking that and changing it just didn't really sit well with him. Which is fair. You know, I
more or less agree with him.
I agree with him on that, but that doesn't change the fact that it was a really awesome take on Power Rangers.
Yeah, which is cool.
If I can find it, I'll put the link in the description. I know that when I watched it, when it first came out, there was an uncensored version of it. It was really bloody gory. There was a little bit of nudity in it, too.
Yeah, there were boobs.
I did not see that version.
Yeah, chicks making out while the Black Ranger does crack. And,
naked chicks.
What?
Yeah, no, it's really dark and gritty, Victoria.
It was awesome.
I love the Power Rangers. I'm scared to watch this.
Yeah, it was still really bloody, though.
If you cringe at our panel, you're going to cringe at this, because it's really bloody and gory.
Especially the Black Rangers fight scene.
Yeah, when he's shooting North Koreans in the face at point-blank range.
Spoilers.
It's a short film. There's no spoilers.
Yeah.
That ending, if we discuss the ending, that is a spoiler.
I guess so. But it's not canon, so I don't know.
But it's still fun.
It is fun. Whatever.
I see the same thing about Ninja Turtles. Like, it's just another take. No one says a Power Rangers has to be one thing and one thing only.
That's true. And I'm not saying that it was bad either. I'm just saying that the dark and gritty didn't really work for Power Rangers. I liked it. I'll watch it again. I'll tell people to watch it. Victoria, go watch it. You know? And Christine, go watch it too, if you know, I don't know.
What about dark and gritty Beetleborgs?
Yeah, a dark Beetleborgs.
Oh, see, that would be cool.
That'd be interesting.
See, I'd be more interested in a dark Beetleborgs. Beetleborgs on Netflix right now.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, Beetleborgs were designed by the guy, by Uncle Go, or Go and a Guy.
No, by Koichi Ohata.
Koichi Ohata, that's right, the other dark and gritty guy.
Yeah.
So Beetleborgs is already one step towards
I meant dark the American version of Beetleborgs. Yeah, there was nothing dark and gritty about Beetleborgs. Big bad Beetleborgs.
Classic horror monsters all over the place.
There was nothing dark and gritty about Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Yeah, there really was.
Big Bad Beetleborgs. Big Bad Beetleborgs.
Okay, so up next in media news, this is the last piece of media news that I have. Check this out, guys. Sony Pictures USA has obtained Attack on Titan domain names.
Now, like, every single variation that they could find.
Yeah, now, here's the issue, though. We have... Attack on the Titan.
Yeah, every single web address is labeled Attack on the Titan.
So we have Attack on the Titan -movie.com, Attack on the Titan -movie.net, Attack on the Titan.com, Attack on the Titan.net, Attack on the Titan movie.com, Attack on the Titan movie.net, Attack on the Titan the movie.com, and Attack on the Titan the movie.net.
And movie the Titan so, of on.
Yeah.
So it's really cool that Sony USA has got these domain name titles, because that could be hinting at something very big, or it could be hinting at nothing at all, because it could be Attack on the Titan being something completely different.
I'm guessing that one.
Yeah, you think it's you think that they really don't have the rights to Attack on Titan? I know. Well, yes.
I don't know. I mean, Attack on Titan's gotten huge. I mean, everywhere in Disney, all I keep seeing are kids in Attack on Titan clothes.
Oh, no, absolutely. Attack on Titan has made waves internationally.
I still don't get now, how it made waves, though. Like,
dude, I don't know, but it's bridging the gap. It was seriously the anime that bridged the gap between otaku and normal entertainment people.
Yeah.
And because there were so many people watching it. So it would not surprise me if they're making a U.S. version of it. The only thing is that the that's added in that web address, Attack on the Titan. Like, the Titan could be a ship, for all we know, and it's just Attack on the Titan. It's a completely different movie.
And for anything else, too, they could be making a movie called The Titan, and
the web address
could just be Attack on the Titan. You know? You know how they do that with movies where they're like, enter the... I don't know. Yeah, when they use, like, the taglines for the movie in order to get there. I don't know, maybe Sony Pictures is just trying to make waves. Because the Japanese live-action version of Attack on Titan is coming out soon. And I guess I wouldn't put it past Sony to be like, oh, hey, the Japanese version just came out. Stomp! You know? Take that, Japanese version. We're Hollywood! You know?
We're gonna Hollywood all over your Hollywood. And actually, but for this... Nobody can blame them for whitewashing, because all the characters are white, except for Mikasa. So there you go.
Yeah. The Europeanized the...
Yeah.
The cast.
Yeah.
I demand an Africanized anime.
And then, in related to that, real quick, there was this really funny story that I saw about... There's this water company, Galaclear, something of that type. They are sponsoring... Attack on Titan. Attack on Titan is doing a campaign with them where when you buy one of their water coolers, you get an official piece of artwork for the water cooler as a decal that you can put on to the water cooler. And when you buy one of the machines, you get put into a raffle to get a 1-to-1 scale maneuver gear piece that you can wear. And there's only two that are made, and you get put into a raffle for it. So you get a 1-to-1 scale maneuver gear that you can actually wear, and I don't know if it's functional. Probably not.
That would be scary.
It'd be really hard to find the CO2.
I demand functional now.
And swords. Lots of swords.
Yeah, those huge utility knives, basically.
Cut all the napes of the neck.
Yeah, and boxes. Open up boxes.
Yeah, and break down boxes. And then also, on top of that, there's also 10 Levi figures that they're doing. He's, like, dressed in a dapper suit, and he's sitting in a chair, and you can get that as well.
He's the anime fan art of the sad bad boy.
The sad boy.
And that's all we have for media news, and we don't have any gaming news, so we're going to skip right down to some strange news.
Yeah! Strange news.
Woo! this is going to make up for last week, last episode, because I've got some strange stories. First off, if anybody is familiar with the idol group Mamori Clover Z,
which everybody should be, I believe everybody has heard them somewhere, they may not know.
They are easily my favorite pop idol group out of Japan, yeah, because they have done such works. Like, they're such a creative group. It's five young ladies who they kind of do crazy things every once in a while, but you'll know
them. Say what they've done so people know.
Yeah, I know. They've done openings for Bodacious Space Pirates, the new Dragon Ball Z movie that's coming out. They did the opening for that. They did the opening for Sailor Moon Crystal.
Yep.
And they also worked on, recently, what got them off the ground was a collaboration video with KISS.
Yeah. Well, and yeah. You didn't see that music video? Yeah, it was cool.
I did not.
And Victoria, you know that really cute ending to Yoshiriku that I sent you? Like the one with the dancing girls, the five dancing girls?
Oh, yes. Yes.
That's them.
Yeah, that's them too.
Oh,
which
okay.
Which is probably one of my favorites. Also, when Lady Gaga did her Japan tour, Mamori Clover Z opened for her, which is pretty cool. Because they kind of do the same crazy that Lady Gaga's into. Now, there was some controversy online recently about them within the past 2 weeks because they went on stage with a band called, I believe it's called Rats and Stars. Yeah, their name is Rats and Stars, and they are kind of an old-time doo-wop group, or at least they're a Japanese old-time doo-wop group, and their thing is that they go on stage in blackface. Yeah, and Mamori Clover Z joined them on stage one time, and they also all decided to go on stage dressed in blackface.
Yeah.
Now, this was kind of not sitting well with people, with fans, and a lot of...
Weird.
Yeah, a lot of other people around the internet. And I think this brings up a really interesting cultural point, because...
It's Japan, they don't know better.
Yeah. They don't. What racism
right?
is.
So, Glitch, how does this make you feel, essentially?
Pretty much just in my opinion. It's Japan. They don't know better.
See, I mean...
They're not intentionally being racist.
Yeah, they're not doing it intentionally.
Yeah, they're not trying to offend anybody. They don't know. I mean, we have different standards than the rest of the world, and...
No, but not the internet.
They're not going around saying, Mammy, I'm cool.
Yeah, when you post something on the internet, it's everybody's problem. We must fight. Oh, I hate the internet. It's so annoying.
Yeah. Why are you on the internet listening to us right now? We're so annoying.
Use your phone to download our stuff on SoundCloud.
I do that.
Or iTunes. Wait, you need it for iTunes.
Anyway.
But yeah, I thought that was an interesting thing that was brought up, because it brings up some interesting cultural points.
Yeah. I will say that wear blackface is never okay, especially here in the United States. I don't know if anybody has ever...
Unless you actually have a black face.
Yeah, I mean, that would... Yeah, I mean...
But that's not considered blackface, which is one word, which is a different classification altogether of what you're referring to.
Which, I mean, if you just have a black face, that's just a physical feature of yours.
That probably obtains to the rest of your body, too. But... this band has been around, Rats and Stars has been around for a really long time, and this issue has never been brought up, at least not from what I know.
Not until
Mamori Clover Z.
Until the internet saw it.
Yeah, right, when Mamori Clover Z is somebody who's actually a little bit more world-renowned, you know, and that's when it makes the impression. Because otherwise, probably Rats and Stars is only local to Japan, and not many people know about them,
yep.
So therefore, it's not an issue. All right. So next up in strange news, we have, check this out. We have a Japanese man who is interested in doing some fitness, but he doesn't have time for fitness. So what's he going to do? He's going to focus on his diet while he's able to exercise. He created a machine that sits on your shoulders and dispenses tomatoes to you so that you can focus on a healthy diet whenever you're saying, hey, I'm feeling a little hungry. Well, hey, Mr. Tomato Man is sitting on my shoulders, and he's going to give me a tomato that's going to roll directly to my face.
What?
Yeah. Okay, here, I'm going to send the link to you guys.
Too many things need to be explained right now.
Here, I'll just send the link to you guys right now so you can check this out. It's a really, really strange story, which is fitting for strange news.
Oh my god, there's a picture.
Is it? It's a literal Tomato Man.
Yeah, it's a Tomato Man.
Holy crud. I did not expect it to be that big.
Right? Yeah. It's like a tomato kid.
Yeah,
it's
like
a tomato Cappy. Like,
yeah, if, yeah, tomato Cappy.
Chappy.
If you're
Chappy's our producer.
I see his little tomato man on my shoulder sometimes.
So, I mean, if you think about it, I mean, this tomato man, he sits on your shoulders and he kind of helps you with your workout, because I imagine he's pretty freaking heavy. 18 pounds. He is 18 pounds sitting on your shoulders. And, I mean, the focus is, you know, a healthy diet with the tomatoes that he dispenses. But, I mean, 18 pounds on your shoulders all day long is a pretty big workout.
It looks like he's carrying a toddler around.
Yeah.
It does. I mean, like, but you have to admit, it's kind of adorable.
Yeah.
I really want to click the video.
Don't go ahead, click watch the video.
Oh my god, it's so dramatic.
Do it after.
But it's so dramatic.
Hey, is the tomato man regurgitate them out of his mouth?
Of course they have to add women eating bananas. Like, that's essential to the video. Yeah. And a very slow motion zoom in on a woman's ass as she eats a banana.
Okay, I'm playing the video.
What the hell? Glitch joins in.
So what's so healthy about tomatoes?
Well, for one thing, they're a fruit.
They're gross.
And for another
thing, they have a lot of vitamin C in them.
Yeah.
So do oranges, though. Why not Orange Man? Or Apple Man?
Here's a
maybe he doesn't like oranges.
Here's a quote from inventor himself. If we would eat tomatoes every day, the lycopene levels in our bodies increase, increasing antioxidant power, and helps us maintain our physical condition healthily. Yeah. So tomatoes allow the body to increase our metabolism. Antioxidants allows us to digest and poop right, mm-hmm. and therefore creating health.
Tomatoes are gross.
So do peppers.
Peppers are gross.
Peppers are amazing.
Tomatoes are gross by themselves.
No, nah, tomatoes are gross.
The machine shits tomatoes and then feeds it to you.
Oh, is that why the thing is behind his back? So yes. That he, like, brings...
He poops tomatoes!
Tomato. I was thinking that he vomits them out. He's like, bah, tomato!
Yeah. But then how can he get it to your mouth?
He feeds you like
his
a mama bird. Open up, baby bird. It's time to eat.
Attack the killer tomato.
That's definitely one of the weirdest inventions.
Seriously. However, I think for next on Strange News, we have an even stranger invention.
Yeah. So you said that was a strange invention, correct? Well, yeah. Here we go. So we all are familiar with the Dakimakura, correct?
The hug pillow.
The Japanese hug pillow with an anime character on it.
You're worried yes? now. Yes. I'm worried.
Yes, Victoria? Yes?
Yes.
Christine, yes?
Yes.
Okay, so here we go. No. Thanks to crowdfunding sites, you know, like Kickstarter or GoFundMe or Indiegogo.
Damn it, Kickstarter. Well,
no, there is a Japanese version of a Kickstarter, though. And here we have an otaku who has created the perfect Dakimakura, the one that talks back to you. But it doesn't just talk back to you. It talks back to you when you touch it. And it doesn't just talk back to you when you touch it. It tells you whether it likes it or dislikes it. If you're being too rough. If you're being too gentle. It is the perfect Dakimakura. And are you worried about that Dakimakura saying the same crap over and over and over again? Like some weird sports prompt? Well, it has over 500 phrases. Last I checked, I haven't checked in a while, but his campaign was over 300% funded.
So now you can snuggle up and spoon your waifu with your Dakimakura. And with this campaign, you can get three different characters. There are three different characters to choose from, and they're all voiced by famous voice actresses.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Actresses know this is happening?
Yes. Because they have to record all the moans and groans and stuff like
unless
that.
Unless you just pull them out of different animes.
Yeah.
Wait. Moans and groans, it moans as well.
How do you think you touch it?
Oh my god.
Oh, never mind. You know what?
Nope. Wrong.
And you should actually see the pitch video too. The creator is like very, very I am a Japanese otaku neat. Like
I'm trying to find the video right now.
I have the link for it.
You do?
Maku Ake. That's what the crowdfunding site's called in Japan. And let's see how much he's crowdfunded so far since I've last seen him at 300%. 450%.
He was looking for 500,000 yen, and he is now currently sitting at 2.25 million yen.
All right, let's hit this play button.
I love the part, especially when he explains that you can be too rough when, like, they go onto the Dakimakura and they show the hand go up, and it's almost like...
Oh, wow.
Which, what's a wow?
The creator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Dude, you're just being the stereotype right now.
Oh, it is not nice to laugh. But, I mean, you gotta admit, he created a love pillow that can be his waifu. Just the zoom-in parts when it's like, here, rub here.
Yeah.
And then it, like, sits there for 30 seconds showing. It's like...
You know, if he has stretch goals, I'm scared.
Well, see, I thought the stretch goals were the other pillows, like, the other characters. So, like, he has this main one character, and then if you get the stretch goal, it's the two other characters that created as well.
So here's an interesting dynamic. Sorry, just got to the part where he's rubbing too hard.
Take that!
The pillow has sensors in it.
Yeah, so you can take the sensors out.
Right.
Yeah,
so I'm wondering, is if you don't mind the voice changing, does that mean that you can just put on a pillowcase of your choosing?
Yes.
And put the sensors on it?
Yes. So, essentially, you're buying the sensor, or you're paying for the sensor, but, like, the printing is just, you know, a Dakimakura. Like, you can remove it at will.
See, I already thought the pillows themselves were strange. This is not helping at all.
You know what's next, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait. Go ahead.
Wait, there's already an application you can put on? You can download more stuff?
Yeah.
Okay, then there's another level then.
Well, I'm thinking maybe farther ahead than your level, because I know what could happen next.
Yeah.
See, now it's the awkward moment. I don't want to mention that. Thinking?
But there will be flashlights eventually, let's just be real.
Oh, no, they already make Dutch wives. Like, you know, inflatable Dutch wives.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing of the past.
Like a more form-fitting pillow with anatomically correct parts?
We'll see.
The things we discuss on Wicked Anime.
Thank you.
We've done worse.
All right. And I believe that is as strange as it gets.
That is as strange as it gets.
No. Well, it'll get worse.
Eventually it will get worse. Just think about it. Just you can't wait. So guys, let's move on to Into the West.
Oh, God damn it. I forgot about that.
Glitch, I believe you were the one who had something for us this Into the West.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Okay.
Well, since, you know, first off, you're not going to do my TMNT talk. Beef on Rocksteady are back, bitches.
Yes!
But I've been watching Sonic Boom. Surprise.
Yeah, Sonic Boom.
I mean, it's better than the game. Which that still is not
hard. It is not very hard.
But at the same time, you can tell it's made for children, but at the same time, it has a few little clever quips and whatnot. I like the whole dynamic between Robotnik and Sonic. They're kind of like more frenemies than anything.
Yeah, I really like the art. I find the art very appealing.
I really don't like how dumb they made most of the characters, though. Like, Knuckles is too stupid.
Yeah.
Amy is stupid as well.
I wonder why that's such a strange dynamic to add to characters in children's shows. Like, why are they dumb? Like, have you ever thought about that? Like, why do they make dumb characters in kids' shows? Is that because kids are dumb and, like, they want to try to make relatable characters to so that, like, a character like Sonic, who could be their hero, can teach them stuff?
I don't know, like, but Sonic is a sarcastic a-hole. I like that.
You like that? That's not what Sonic's about.
Yes, it is. No, that's not true. Yeah, it is.
Yeah, it kind of is.
Well, maybe to Robotnik he is, but not to...
Oh, he's as smart as everybody.
Yeah, he is.
Is he?
Yeah.
I'm, like, really out of the loop on Sonic, I guess.
No, he is. He's
always been that way.
He really likes chili dogs and pinball.
They brought the chili dog thing back in Sonic Boom.
Did they really?
Yep.
That's kind
of I never knew it went away. See, I'm so far out of the Sonic.
Well, I mean, like, they made it more adamant.
The only thing that I've ever had to look onto is fan art on DeviantArt. So it's like, I thought that it was a perfect universe.
No, the Chili Dogs thing was strictly for the American version for the cartoon with Jaleel White.
Yeah.
Like, that was the only place where the Chili Dogs showed up. In the anime version, there's no Chili Dogs at all.
No. There's, what is it in... What is it in... do they have something for the anime version?
Rings. It's actual Sonic. Sonic the Hedgehog.
But yeah, that's like, disappointing. It's not, like, it's not great. I'm not going to say it's the greatest shot I've seen in God knows how long, but it's very entertaining when you want something just to be background noise or...
Yeah.
You gotta...
when you want something to not watch, you put on Sonic.
Well, you can watch it, too, but...
I'd watch it.
There's just, like, a bunch of situations, like, between Robotnik and Sonic that are just funny to me. Because, like, they're just, like I said, they're frenemies. There's one episode where Robotnik gets kicked out of his own lair and actually stay with Sonic and Tails. And they let him.
Into the West. Whoopsh, whoopsh. Sonic Boom, better than the video game.
There it is.
A little late on the uptake.
Right? There's the curse of my life and the fate of my existence.
It's a sound you're going to be humming when
Sean
they drag you.
I was not a fan of it last time either.
Sean's not a fan of anything on this show.
Exactly. Like, that's why he's not even on the show.
Like, yeah, I feel like he hates this show more than anybody.
And everyone on it.
Hey, we did have a bonding moment about Scooby-Doo.
You did. Yes.
So now to move on to what we're watching. I haven't been watching anything new recently, but I have gotten into Dominion Tank Police, which is a classic anime. I've downloaded it. I haven't watched it yet, though.
I saw that it was from the concept art, at least, was from the artist of Ghost in the Shell.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is. So, it's pretty cool, and it has catgirls.
Of course.
I actually checked out a new show. Not a new show. It's actually really old, but I decided to watch Idolmaster.
Oh, yeah, I wanted to check that out, too.
Yeah,
and... I've been wanting to check that out for a while, though.
Because that show is all about the waifus. The show is about a company that is an agency that just has a stockpile of idols, and they, you know, it's basically a look into the industry of how being an idol works.
It's based off of a game, though.
Yeah.
That's the thing. Like, the original Idolmaster is a game.
Right. And you play the producer, and you have to try to get idols.
Yeah, you basically essentially choose the girls that you're gonna produce, bring them up to idol status, compete them in songs, and then...
Yeah. The show was pretty good. The first episode really fell short for me because there's a buttload of characters in the show. There's 13 girls alone, and that's not including the producers and all the surrounding characters in the show. So it's a lot to take in, and it's just like, I'm never going to remember all these girls' names. I like the one with the snaggletooth.
I like Hibiki, too. That's my favorite girl.
But the... Yeah, but the show was okay. I got onto the second episode, and it was definitely a lot better. You got into... Like, they focus on one of the girls, but they also do it in a way where you can focus on all the other girls, where, like, it shows their special talents, but one of the girls doesn't know that she has a special talent. So while you're learning about all the girls' special talents, you're also learning about the inner feelings of this one girl specifically, because she's like, I don't know what my special talent is. You know, so it was pretty good. I guess I'll watch it when there's absolutely nothing to watch, but that's pretty much it for me. I'm not really a fan of the idol show, but it came across to me that, you know, it was something that I should check out. It's really popular, so I'll keep going.
No? I've been catching back up on Fairy Tale, but that's about it.
That's a bit, okay.
So you have like 200 episodes to catch up on, and you've watched them all already?
No, I only have about 20 episodes to catch up on. It won't take too long.
Yeah, because it just recently started up again, and you're on top of that show.
Mm-hmm. So, wait, is this series 2, or is it actual Fairy Tale?
It's actual Fairy Tale, but it's technically series 2.
Well, because there's a series on Crunchyroll called Fairy Tale Series 2.
It's series 2. It's okay. The same thing, just they restarted it, because originally they had to stop it. Yeah, because you guys remember, we went over that one time.
Yeah, hiatus
because one of the voice actresses' contracts was up.
Did they get her back?
I'm not positive, but I'm behind.
Okay. Show's still good, though, right?
Oh, yeah.
Cool.
I still love it. I'm just trying to catch back up on anime since I just bought my Anime Boston ticket, like my actual event ticket, so.
Oh, good. Did you read about the membership cap?
Yeah, that's why I also bought James a ticket. So.
Oh, good. So moving forward to the toy shelf, this completely comes from a fan, Big Bad Shadow Man. And if you guys have been listening to our show recently, everything from Big Bad Shadow Man has been about giant monsters and classic kaiju and giant robo kind of stuff.
He's kind of like our kaiju cleanup guy. We mess up
Yeah, we mess up on information and he jumps in and saves
and,
the
and
day.
Puts it back
He's
together.
He's a kaiju connoisseur.
Yeah, so we really thank you for that, by the way, because we suck. Anyway, so we have a new toy shelf aspect here. Ultra Act and SH Figures have been working together to make Ultraman-based figures. And these guys look really cool. It's not like basic Ultraman anymore. I mean, there's a lot of Ultraman figures, but this is like an armored Ultraman. Looks really sweet. Based on the Heroes manga Ultraman series. So it is a little different than regular Ultraman. This guy looks really neat. So now they have a scale, posable action figure of it. Looks really great. August of 2015 for about $41 American. It's pretty neat.
That's a good price.
Yeah, that's a really good price for a really nice looking figure.
It's a strange price for a posable figure, though.
Yeah, it depends on how big it is. I can't really see that. Find the facts on how big it is, and maybe if I click on the link, that would help.
Maybe it does.
Shut up. Also from Big Bad, we have different things from the Godzilla series. New Godzilla figures that are going to be released in March of 2015. Very, very, very high quality detail Godzilla figurines. Mecha King Ghidorah. For $200.
Holy crap.
Yeah, being released in March. I think I said that already, did I?
Yes.
Yeah, well, it looks great.
How big is it?
$200? $200 for a Mecha King Ghidorah. And it also has removable parts. You can start putting things together, putting things on it. Make it fight Godzilla if you have a Godzilla figure.
Godzilla not included.
Yeah, and this is a web exclusive figure. It's at shmaarticulationseries.com.
Wow, that's a really tough address.
Yeah, shma-articulationseries.com.
You can't even, like...
Web-exclusive Mecha King Ghidorah for $200 being released in March.
You can't even find that by accident on Google. That's a word-of-mouth thing right there.
Yeah. But they look really nice. So thank you, Big Bad Shadow Man, for sending us that, because you really know your stuff when it comes to this. And this website actually has a whole bunch of different ones. I just thought the King Ghidorah one was really cool.
Do they have a Godzilla that can fight your King Ghidorah?
Yes, they have a Godzilla 2000 Millennium Godzilla for $75, coming out in June of 2015. And then of August of 2015, they have Godzilla from 2014.
Oh.
Yeah. Has an atomic ray attachment, which is awesome.
That's part of that movie.
That's going to be about $71. These are all web exclusives from this website, so it's very cool. Thanks, Big Bad.
Ooh, speaking of exclusives, this is not really anime related, but I don't care. Shameless plug. I'm a huge fan of Toe Jam and Earl, and I found out that like Greg Johnson is doing a Kickstarter, and I really want the figures for one of their benefactors. Like, my God.
What is it?
They're like 5-inch Toe Jam and Earl pieces, and if you donate a little bit more, you get like these 6-inch rocket ship.
Oh. Yeah.
I want that
Funkatron.
So bad.
So then, finally, we have reached our Tamagotchi, which is the fun part of this episode, because this Tamagotchi is awesome. Con survival, guys. Do's and don'ts. What you need to know about conventions, if it's your first convention, if you're a veteran, what have you learned, etc.
It's the Con Survival Guy, here to help you not be an ass.
That's right. Because there are a lot of them at conventions.
Or smell like it, either.
Yeah, or smell like it.
Do not ask or smell like an ass.
Wow.
Rule number one of the Con Survival Guide is always, always, always deodorant. Whether you take a shower and then use deodorant, or take a Puerto Rican shower and use deodorant,
preferably
you
the
always
shower,
have deodorant.
Dead deodorant.
Yeah, yeah,
actually,
exactly.
No, that's required. That's not just recommended. That is required.
For those of you who think that was a racist comment, a Puerto Rican shower is when you take a can of cologne or Axe spray and just douse yourself in Axe spray. My boss, when I worked at Michael's Arts and Crafts, he was part Puerto Rican, and that's what he told me was a Puerto Rican shower.
Okay, I was about to ask you what that was, because I've never heard of that term before.
It's dousing yourself in Axe, Puerto Rican shower. I laughed, so I
and so did he, so it's okay.
Yeah. Everybody laugh!
What?
So, number one, bring deodorant. We don't like it when nerds smell, and nobody likes it when nerds smell, because that makes it gives us a very bad image. Because that's like the image, you know, that everybody always gets. You know, you get the gross guy who's sitting in the corner.
I think that's a true testament.
Eating tacos as loud as he possibly can.
And gross.
Hearing that, my brain more went into like, "Hey, Arnold."
Brainy.
These are all.
I'm sorry, people. Like, please don't detriment the nerd culture. Because when people think nerds, they think of, you know, they still think of fedora wearing, Hawaiian shirt, or flamboyant shirt wearing. Actually, I'm going to correct you in every little thing. High friggin' heaven. At most,
I think that's true. That I think most everybody hates it when nerds smell, but nobody hates it more than nerds who hate nerd smell. Because
or the person standing next to them.
Well, yeah, I mean, like the person standing next to them is bad. But if that person is also a nerd, just look on them and shame is like, ugh.
Yeah.
That person is one of me. I don't know.
It's like when I watch the news sometimes.
Oh man.
Oh man.
Speaking of racism.
Glitch, what are you doing?
I have a rule.
Okay.
It doesn't matter your race or sex, you can cosplay what the hell you want because you're actually having fun doing what you can. Some things
it's
that
true.
You can't do spot on, like, you know, I can do a spot on aesthetic because I got dreadlocks. And I am not doing Tozen, but.
Well, now here's an interesting thing, because I don't know if that's as big of an issue as it used to be, because there's been this whole thing that has kind of hit the cosplay culture nowadays that is almost like you don't need to worry about, you know, what you're dressing like anymore. That's kind of become a non-issue.
Yay!
Or at least a smaller issue, because I haven't seen it as much as it used to be.
I don't know. Nobody can pull off a Good Burger Ed like Glitch can.
That is true.
Okay, on that note, too. Like, you know, certain characters have catchphrases and all kind of stuff. Yes, we're prepared to do stuff like that. However, we're not a trained monkey or a pull-string toy. That's not the only thing we do.
Yeah.
And don't be... And expect, especially if they have a catchphrase. Like, you know, I do the Ed thing all the time, and I try to do it as much as I can. But there are just some times where I'm just, my throat's sore, or I'm just tired or whatnot, and I just don't want to do it.
I will say that there is a double standard to that, though, where people may go crazy, you know, asking you to do whatever that character does. It also helps to not be a dick from the cosplayer side and just be like, no, you know, like being a brat about it.
Yeah,
you know,
I try to
be
a brat. I just try to let them know, like, I'm tired, like, my throat's hurting right now. But I still look at them like, you asshole, like, really?
Yeah, it's like, you say, I'm sorry, I'm tired, my throat hurts, I don't want to do that right now. You could have said, welcome to Good Burger, home of the Good Burger, in the time that you said all that.
Yeah, but I'm also saying, now I'm saying all of that in my normal voice.
Because coming from personal experience, there have been plenty of times when, you know, Jonathan and I walk up with, like, you know, our media badges, you know, and people still are just like, who are you? Why are you asking me this question? You know, like, so freaked out and disgusted that we're just like, can we ask you some questions?
Oh, yeah, and they're like, always look at you guys like, what? Why?
Yeah, that's why we don't ask anymore. That's why we just ambush them with a question.
Yeah, now we ambush.
At least on the escalators, you ambush.
Yeah. On the press badges thing, though, too, I mean, I think that was the same similar situation that happened with George Takei with Christine.
Ooh, yeah. I got one. I got another.
That was very disappointing.
You got another one, Glitch?
Yes.
Go ahead.
You can break character sometimes.
Yes, you can break character sometimes. It's impressive how many people do not like to break character.
It is okay to break character.
The first year that we ever did interviews, when we even before we were pressed, this was when we were kind of in our trial phase for Wicked Anime.
2012.
We did we ran we interviewed people and they gave us their real names and we were like, okay, so who are you? Tell us who you are, and they would immediately tell us their real name. We didn't run into anybody who was like, I'm Spanish Deadpool, you know, as like I'm wearing a sombrero and a mustache. I don't know.
We did in 2013, I want to say. That was when we stopped doing like normal interviews approaching people and stuff like that, but they also we got a couple people who actually said who they were as like their character.
Yeah.
Which was kind of weird. I don't know. I find it kind of weird when people do that because we're not interviewing you as a character. We're actually interviewing you as an attendee. But some people don't get that. So it's kind of okay.
I also feel like if you are approached because you are dressed up as a cosplayer, when you ask somebody like, oh, who are you? They automatically think that you're intending them to answer saying who they're cosplaying as.
Correct. Yeah, I agree.
Like, I have more so of many a things,
question
dude.
Out to people.
Yeah?
There's one thing that's worrying me, because I've never flown and taken all of my cosplay stuff with me.
Ah.
And I'm a little scared of the looks I'm going to get from the TSA agents when my bags go through the thing.
Okay, that's a new one. Huh. I will attest to that when Andrew and I traveled back and forth from Florida. You don't have to worry about a thing.
Yeah, this...
Unless you have a prop gun...
I was saying, neither of you had a wig, and you didn't have... I may or may not have to have a wig.
No, but we did travel back and forth with certain books and in our bags.
Yeah.
I remember helping you hide certain books in your bags.
So. and, Victoria, the thing that you actually have to remember is where you might have weird stuff in your bag, I can almost guarantee... You do not have the weirdest stuff they have ever seen.
Nope.
True. Yeah.
So, because they imagine how many people go through those gates every day and have tons of wigs. Not just like a wig, but tons of them.
Well, people just trying to smuggle stuff. Of,
yeah, but can you imagine, like, even, like, going to the point where people carry sex toys across the TSA stuff? Like, yeah. They have to. Like, And, like, none of us are bringing weird stuff like that across. And,
I would love to see the TSA confiscation closet.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so when it comes to stuff like that, I wouldn't even think about it. Can you imagine how normal a wig must look to them? And like, a costume? Because you're bringing your costume, too, right?
My costume is actually pretty much normal clothes.
Yeah, so
it's more the body paint and the wig.
Yeah, so I would.
Okay, so go the wig maybe. I don't know. Yeah.
But so
Glitch,
so
you actually seen Steven Universe?
Yes.
Amethyst.
Ah, hey, nice.
What you really should be thinking, this should actually go out to as a question to people who have run into this as an issue from TSA. You know, has anyone out there ever run into a problem where? Something's been stopped or somebody's been like, what is this? You know, what's going on? Traveling through airports, whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I was kind of hoping. I'd like to hear other people's opinions on it, if they would.
That's a good call. Shout out to the fans. Can anybody help with that?
But in your case, Victoria, I think you're good. I don't think you have anything to worry about, because that is probably the least weird stuff they've seen.
I bet you Scarlet of Scarlet Rhapsody would have a good... answer for that, because I think she travels all across. She goes to a bunch of different places,
AX and stuff like that.
Yeah,
so Scarlet Rhapsody, good show. You need to go check them out. Very good cosplay stuff.
Yeah.
Ooh, I got another one. Bring a charger.
Yes.
Always bring a charger. Always bring little snack bars.
Well,
and water.
Actually, if you're talking about snack bars and water, when we go to Anime Boston. Every year, there's a Shaw's right across the street from the Marriott Hotel that we stay in, and it's a 24-hour Shaw's. And the Thursday before we, you know, do our tradition of champions and hockey,
stock up time.
Yeah, we go right to that Shaw's and we buy crap tons of donuts, well, and peanut butter and jelly and bread.
I could actually do that for my cosplay.
Yeah.
The only problem is that you can't bring it into the convention center.
Right, you can't bring food in.
Yeah, that's another issue altogether, is that while some places may do this, definitely certain convention centers do not allow food and drink. So if you're looking to bring something with you so you don't have to spend money on, you know, food and stuff at the really expensive food courts, definitely don't show it in the convention center, because they'll probably make you throw it out or confiscate it or whatever.
Yeah.
Treat it like a movie theater.
Yeah, right. Be super
loud and obnoxious and scream all the time because you've never seen a movie before.
Well, that is a con.
Yeah, right.
So I do understand that they don't allow it necessarily, but yep. I know in the past, like if you say that it's like, I don't know, I've brought
if you're
in
like
small
diabetic,
snacks.
You need it, they'll let you.
Right.
You bring
I mean,
a diabetic
like,
bracelet, you're good.
I mean, I'm not, but I do know that it's like, you can just who's say that it's like, I need this.
Yeah.
And you know, you can always just say like, I don't know. I just know that last year I brought a drawstring bag. I kind of put a t-shirt in there, and mm-hmm. I wrapped a water bottle and I think a snack pack in my t-shirt and put it in my bag and put my camera on top. So when I open, I mean, I know this is kind of sneaking and probably not.
Movie theater.
Right? Treated like a movie theater.
Right. But I mean, like all they did was they're like, oh, you know, you have your camera. Great. What else is in there? Your wallet. Awesome. T-shirt. Great. Go right ahead.
Yeah.
So like they didn't question.
Yeah, they can't
but
really
do it. But
at
the same time, like, just don't be a dick.
Yeah, right. Yeah, you don't want to bring in, like, hordes of junk food.
Don't bring beer, don't bring...
Because I'm pretty sure they won't mind, like, one water bottle, like, especially if you're in costume or something that's obviously a hot costume.
Yeah. What do you mean I can't bring this lobster dish into the convention center?
Like, if James dresses as Thor again, I'm going to have to carry around a water bottle to be safe.
Well, water bottles are always okay, though. I've always brought water bottles with me.
Mm-hmm. You should install his suit with internal AC.
Yeah, right?
Well, I know his name badge says Thor again, so I don't know if he's planning on bringing out the outfit again or not, but...
The onesie.
The onesie with a hole in the back of it so it vents.
Yeah.
That was bad. Yeah. You almost died.
Okay. So hey, that brings up another one. This is a pretty cosplay heavy thing. I mean, we don't usually focus on cosplay that much, but this is pretty cosplay heavy so far. Another thing about con is definitely when you think about your cosplay. Yeah, definitely go as big as you want. You know, I'm not discouraging really big costumes, but definitely think about how you're traveling.
Yeah.
I mean, if whether this this attests to being able to go through doors, not crashing into people, but also think about how you construct your costume. There are people who walk around with like 8-foot wingspans.
Yes.
And you know, they're like, I'm gonna make this costume that he's a demon and he's got bat wings.
Bam, 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 hitting everybody that walks through.
Yeah, get out of my way.
You gotta plan accordingly. You've got to.
Yeah, I think I almost got impaled last year.
Yeah.
So,
I dress would function too.
Yeah. I had an issue with Marie because I had the eye patch from Soul Leader. I had the eye patch and I had the mallet on my hand. And I already need glasses. So, having one eye throughout half the convention, not a good idea. I think I hit walls.
Well, yeah, that
like
too.
Six
like,
times.
Along with wings and just props as well. Like, mind your props.
Okay. See, I don't even like carrying a bag around the convention with me. I don't understand how anybody...
Me too.
I don't understand how anybody can carry a prop around
my
all day long.
My mallet also worked as a bag, so there.
That's pretty cool.
Well, that's convenient.
Yeah.
That's also something else I want to mention. Like, make some of your stuff functional or secret bags or something. Like, if your costume does not have pockets, you need to develop a bag for your character or some sort of pocket or
right.
some crap like that because you're going to buy stuff.
But that's not
you're
canon.
You're
going
to carry stuff. You're gonna want money. You're gonna have to have money somewhere.
Yeah.
And if you're a guy, you don't have boobs to put.
Oh, I was just gonna say, stick them in the bra.
Instant pockets. But there's like a lot. You can make pockets in your outfits and not make it as like visible.
Yeah, guys can invest in training bras too. Glitch, you can invest in a training bra.
I already have a training.
Yeah,
bra.
Yeah, so there you go. You got your pockets.
Glitch, you really have a training bra?
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay. When I got my nipples pierced, I sleep on my stomach, so I needed something to cover them up.
Okay, yeah.
Oof. I also have a regular bra, too. I think I'm a 38A.
Nice.
But I can crossplay if I want.
Hey, no, dude, I had to put a bra on my friend and then paint him red, so...
Yeah, Seth.
Who talked to me yesterday? Sorry.
Wow, that was spiteful a little bit there. Or like a mix of spite and surprise. I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh, can I say something else?
Yeah.
So when it's kind of if you're not going to cosplay, like I typically do not cosplay, or I've never cosplayed actually. Just dress for comfort.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. wear shoes that you can walk and possibly run in.
yeah, possibly run.
dress in layers. Some of the floors, like the dealer's room, is going to be possibly 90 degrees or hotter. But the third floor in one of the smaller rooms could be freezing to you. By freezing, I mean probably 65 degrees. So just, you know, wear a sweatshirt. That 90s look of tying it around your waist may not be a bad idea. And also go with people who don't mind walking around.
Yeah, don't be afraid to walk around and socialize, too, because you never know who you'll run into or who you'll meet.
Right, right. I know every year I always manage to run into at least 10 people that I know from all walks of my life. And it's nice just to stand and talk to people, but it's also nice to just go with people who don't mind doing the same thing. So make sure you're with people that are on the same page as you.
A thing off of the shoes idea. Pack an extra pair of shoes, especially if you're cosplaying. Because most cosplay characters, especially the girl ones, have some crazy shoes. And I'll never forget my friend Daisy was in heels that were ridiculously high. And she, I think that was when she had that like black leather outfit.
Oh, but yeah, the Bayonetta, when she was Bayonetta.
She had some crazy shoes. And I remember every time I looked, she had to sit and rub her feet because she was in so much pain. You got to bring an extra pair of shoes to save yourself. Otherwise, you will be a mess at the end of the night.
Yeah, for those people who don't know, Bayonetta has high heels that are
gun shoes.
That are guns. Yeah, so and yeah, that would be a terrible thing to be walking around in all day. Oh man, I can't even imagine.
Especially with a skin tight cat suit on too, like and that much hair on your head, so you're just kind of weighted all unbalanced and everything.
You've got to plan everything around what you're deciding to wear if you're going to do a cosplay, because like there's people who will wear the skin tight suits that won't realize they're going to die if they don't, like, air it out a little bit.
I got to go outside, guys.
Temperature control.
But then there's also the people who wear, like, the big furry outfits or, like, I'm pretty sure Dana's this year is some big yellow head face thing. I don't really know.
Yeah, yeah, Kuro-sensei from Assassination Classroom. Yeah.
She's going to need to make sure she gives herself time and breaks to take that thing off or else she's going to be passing out. She knows better. She's, like, cosplay queen. But you definitely got to time things out and think about what you're doing. You can't just out on a whim be like, oh, I'm going to go dress in this and going to run around all day in this huge outfit that won't let me breathe. You're going to be passed out on the convention floor real fast.
Certain things, too. Like, don't be upset if someone doesn't get who you are all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, one of the rules of our panel that actually applies to life, don't get offended. Don't be offended.
I mean, I understand that we're here to enjoy fun and whatnot, but like, if you're there for an ego, have people recognize all that kind of stuff, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. I mean, because like, I had a friend of mine go with me, and I was dressed as Static, and she was dressed as Storm, and she was starting to get upset that more people were wanting to take pictures of me and everything, and because, you know, they're 90s, let's face it. And she started to get upset and started kind of being bratty toward me and everybody else because they were focused on me, like, you dress there for fun, not to show off all the time. So have fun with what you're doing and don't be more concerned with everybody else.
Yeah, the first year I went to Anime Boston, I dressed as a character that nobody would have ever known.
Yeah, in a million years.
And then after that, I dressed as Nauta from Fooly Cooly. I think within 3 years of being Nauta from Fooly Cooly, I got one picture taken of me.
Yeah, if you dress as somebody that no one really recognizes and that you're still a huge fan of, that makes that one person that recognizes you oh, the sweeter.
Right? Yeah, exactly. It's because it's
assume everyone's going to know who you are. Everyone's going to want your picture. I went with a Tsubasa group the very first time I cosplayed. And we had all four of the main characters. We had Sharon, Sakura, Kurgane, and Pai. And we're like, the two of us who were Sharon and Sakura were like, oh, people are going to be like, they're going to want group pictures all the time. The only pictures anyone wanted were Kurgane and Pai. The entire time.
Kurogane
and
Faye.
It had to be the couple. It like the gay couple. It had to be them. Everyone wanted them. We're both, me and Ryan were like, are you kidding me right now? We gave up on wonderful moment. At the end.
Yeah, I had a wonderful moment last MegaCon I went to because I dressed as Static, like first season Static too. And for some reason there's this girl who always dresses as Richie that I never even knew about. And just walking around, like I ran into her, she ran into me like, holy crap! And we just took pictures and had way much more fun just because we were just dressing who we like to be.
Nice. So, survival.
So bathe, don't be a dick. Yeah. Bathe, bring
Do
food.
Do not skip on don't meals. Don't be a dick. Do not skip on meals.
Yeah, that's...
Hey, yeah.
Manage your money.
Like, you can maybe skip one, like, if you do, like, breakfast and dinner, fine. But
yeah.
you can't skip all your meals and leave it for the end of the night.
I thought we did a really good job last year at Anime Boston, where the fact that we just were like, hey, I'm hungry, and then we just went to go eat something.
Yeah, we ate Qdoba tacos every day.
Every single day for 3 days straight. For three meals a day, 3 days straight.
Ooh,
Qdoba tacos.
Well, it was chicken. We never got the beef or steak.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Only chicken.
Only chicken tacos.
Yeah.
Because chicken is always a safe bet for not having your stomach be upset.
Yeah, because there's no spices. There's no nothing like
there's
that.
There's no grease.
Yeah.
Like, it's just better.
You just get the lettuce, soft tacos, chicken, and sour cream, which will douse some of the spice if there's any. And that will and that right there is like a perfect combination of energy, so that's good for food.
Any other food suggestions though? Like, what food is good for a convention that won't slow you down, two won't make you sick?
Oh, I
crackers.
Granola bars and trail mix for me.
I for those of you who can eat it,
a lobster dinner.
Yeah, you bring into the convention.
For those of you who can eat it, peanut butter, because it coats you really well. I every day I had a bagel with peanut butter because
peanut
it was
butter,
heavy.
Peanut butter might run the risk of an upset stomach, though.
Not necessarily. Not if you just have one bagel with peanut butter. Hmm. I mean, that's really make it gassy, maybe. You don't want walking farts again.
Just crop dusting them.
Crop dusting everybody.
But that's it's fine because it's a convention, so you could be like, I think it was that guy.
Yeah. There's like 100 people in your general vicinity that you could blame that on. If you smelt it, you dealt it. Any one of you.
Yeah.
You know? So there you go. If eat something that will sit with you, that's heavy, and crop dust.
Well, in general, when it comes to food, and like, just learn how to manage your time and money. Because I've seen some people at cons that will splurge all their money the first day, and will have nothing. Like, end up begging people for food or whatnot. Like, dude, you came here for like $500.
Yeah. This year, because I have a new job that pays fairly decent, I actually have quite a con budget.
Well, here's the reason why, though. There's a reason why that is. It's because this is our vacation of the year.
Yeah.
We don't do anything. We don't plan for anything else. We plan our whole year around just one convention for us. It's Anime Boston. So we save all the money we get all year round for that con budget, and therefore we have some little bit of leeway because of that. And so,
but you're still planning and managing your money around that instead of, you
exactly.
know,
yeah.
just plopping down, I got this much money, I'm going to, for the entire weekend, I'm going to spend this much, cool. Damn, I forgot about food.
Yeah.
Now you just put the food on a credit card, man.
Like, the impulse, like, we should talk about, like, the vendors gap areas and whatnot, too.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Vendors room is my favorite part of a convention.
Yeah, because, okay, so here's one to start that off. This applies to, again, many different things, but to the dealer's room specifically, when you see something, stop and think about it for a second. If you see something, you have to carry it around. For one thing, you have to bring it home and put it somewhere for another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then third of all, how expensive is it? I don't care if you have the money for it. You have to think of this budgeting thing that we keep using.
Is it worth the time and energy you're putting into it?
So here's the thing. For me, I love, love, love collecting figurines. But sometimes I'm just happy enough to just have seen the figurine.
Almost like a museum.
Yeah, like not physically hold it or touch it, but if I see it, that's sometimes satisfying enough for me. You know?
Sometimes it isn't.
Sometimes it isn't.
Here's the part where having very weird or obscure fandoms comes in handy for me, because a lot of stuff that I like, there's like only one or two official figurines anyway, so
yeah.
I can, if I don't already have them, I can just get them there.
Right, because there are those things that you see and it's like, I cannot believe they have this.
Yeah, see, in accordance to the Monster Hunter video, that or the Monster Hunting segment that we did for a video last year, I'm not too lucky on that part, because there's Monster, surprisingly, I'm a recent Monster Hunter fan as of like the video. In the video last year, and I found that, wow, you can find Monster Hunter stuff everywhere. So I'm really happy about that for one thing, but there's a lot of it, so you have to kind of think about what you want to buy from it, you know?
See, my shopping addiction's always been the wall scrolls.
Yeah, see, I know you love the wall scrolls, Victoria. So
wall scrolls are awesome. Though.
Wall scrolls are awesome,
unless
and I
have like 5 hanging up and 20 under your bed because you don't have space for them.
I have the same. I have the same issue where I have, but I would switch them out all the time. Like I would regularly switch them out, like I was decorating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there's some things like shop around because let's face it, no shop has just one thing. You're very unless it's like some rare thing that you know the price of or whatnot. There's probably someone going to have the exact same thing you're looking at cheaper.
So, but here's another thing, too. This is what I do. I have a list that I bring with me that have a list of animes on them that I want merchandise from.
Oh, that's cool.
So, so if I find something on the list from that anime on my list, that's kind of my focus point of this is what I'm focusing on to buy from this anime convention. That kind of goes away when I get to the doujin table, but whatever. but hey, doujins are light. You can carry them around. They're concealable, and you can put them places because they're thin. So that's not an issue.
Talk to the vendors.
Oh my gosh,
you would be surprised what just a little small conversation will get you, or will get you. You can get you a discount. I know that he's been holding on to.
Yeah.
Just contact information in case he gets something like that.
It's true. Because another thing is that Glitch, you brought up a really good point, is I found out from just reading forums of convention, if you ask a vendor about a specific item, they might not have it on the shelf, but they might take it out from underneath the table and be like, do you mean this? You know? Something that that isn't on display or they don't know that they have. Like, if I were to walk up and say, hey, I saw this Monster Hunter figurine last year. Do you happen to have it this year? They could just pull it out of nowhere because they do have it, just not on display. It's very important.
There was a plush I had hunted for last year. I can't remember what it was. Like, the end of the convention, I saw it, and I was trying to find it, and I went around asking everyone. Mm-hmm. And whoever had it had sold the last one. I can't remember for the life of me what it was.
That's a shame, though.
The same thing happened to me.
That's also something else, too. Like, if there's also, everyone has that one impulse buy, it's like, oh, I need to get it. It's not like, after you really think about it, certain things that'll, like, if you want a Death Note notebook, there's a dime a dozen. That would be every fucking where.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But certain rare things, like you said, the plushie or one thing, you can go ahead and get that.
Yeah, see, sometimes for me, if it's an item that I can just go ahead and buy on Amazon, sometimes I'll leave it. But if I have the convenience of seeing it right in front of me, that kind of is my incentive to be like, oh, I should buy this now because I can see it. Like, even though I can buy it right online at any time I want, sometimes I go ahead and buy it. But you're correct in saying that if you keep an eye out for the rarer items that are not sold anywhere else, that's what you really need to look for.
And appraise your stuff, basically. Like, inspect it before you buy it.
Yes.
Yeah. And by the way, on top of that, shopping on Sundays is the best because you can actually you can haggle.
Yes, you can haggle.
Yeah, I was going to mention that because people just want to get rid of crap. The less stuff they have to worry about taking home, the better.
Exactly. That you actually said exactly what I was going to say, where they do not want to bring any of it back with them. So they are willing to down stock.
Right.
So that's what you do. You talk to the vendors Friday, talk to them Saturday, you know, get buddy-buddy with them.
Yep.
You might actually be able to get genuine friends with them. You never know. And they'll let you know.
It's actually really easy to become friends with vendors, especially at smaller conventions, too. Because
remember, most people just kind of buy, walk past, that's it.
Yeah. Like a convention like Anime Festival Orlando, their dealer's room is a lot smaller than most places. And you can walk by the same people a ton of times, and you can just keep walking by them, say hi each time, and talk about it.
Yeah, there was one guy that we got. We became good buddies with him.
Yeah, and we got his business card and stuff like that for merchandise, and it turned out really well because he remembered who we are each time, and then it turned out to the point where we walked by him, and he was just like, "Hey, what have you guys done so far?" You know. It's actually a really good. It's really good. Do that.
One of the things at the cons too is that, see, I have an addiction to buy the wall scrolls and buying really nerdy t-shirts, especially the ones from T-Turtle, which become my obsession. I have probably about 10 of them. That's another thing. If you become friendly with the vendors, like they said, like I've done it as proof. They gave me huge discounts on the multiple shirts that I was getting, and like I was listening to other people around me buying the same amount of shirts but not getting them because they were just like,
yes.
if you talk to them.
Yeah, like I said, just treat them like people and you're good.
And especially if you're like, oh my God, these are amazing, who does the artwork for them? Like, you talk to them, get to know them, and be really friendly and, like, again, like a rule, don't be a dick. It's going to work out really well for you. I mean, like, I got like artists 10 too. Of them.
Yeah, so this might sound like a broken record, but and also really quirky and funny, but I think we've mentioned this a couple times on the show, but some of the most fun people to talk to are the people who sell smut, essentially. Like, if people who sell doujins, people who sell visual novels, people who sell hentai, they're really fun to talk to because they're so shameless. You know, like, they know what they're selling, so they'll talk about anything with you. The guys over at Hendene, which are they're con hoppers. They go to conventions and they sell doujins. They are some of the funniest guys I have ever talked to, and they are literally an encyclopedia of smut. Like, they know every art, they know every artist, they know what that artist likes to draw.
I had to find them.
Yeah, Hendene goes to MegaCon, dude. They probably won't be there this year because they're so close together. Because they're coming to anime, they're going to be at Anime Boston though, and you can guarantee I will be there.
But when you mention, some vendors are con hoppers too, so getting to know them, if you go to like a lot of different cons, getting to know them in general, they'll be able to let you know if they're going to a certain con, who's going to be there, because they might have even inside information or, like, just nice to see a friend that they know already. Like, don't be afraid to ask a question. The worst thing that people say is no.
I'd say just watch out for your friends.
Yes.
If you are with somebody and they look like they're, like, having a good time or need some water or whatnot, just make sure that you're aware of what they need.
I think there's a little side subject that you wanted to talk about. Remember we were discussing this yesterday?
Oh gosh, please jog my memory.
It was go with people that are going to lift your spirits.
Oh yes.
Do not go in a crowd or go with that one person who's just going to bring your con down. Everybody has one.
Yeah.
So
everybody knows one.
Christine has had some pretty rough experiences.
I usually end up staying with the people who need someone to stay with them.
Because
they usually kind of run everyone else away, unfortunately. Yeah. I don't mean to say, like, that's really mean to say. But
I'm just thinking, have
there
been
times
just me and
Christine? Oh, no, I understand exactly what you mean.
Now Victoria's people... like, was it ever just me and Christine? Oh, no.
No, Victoria, it was never you. I think I was trying to escape people to get to you.
Oh, okay, that makes me feel... Oh.
Do not mention the name.
That was so good. Oh my gosh.
Please let me know if you disagree.
I need to message you now.
But
make sure that you kind of go with the game plan.
Yes.
Make sure that also if you know you're going to be with a backup plan. I know that there have been times when friends have wanted to go meet other, you know, voice actors or meet other people,
yes,
and I have no idea who they are because I am the noob, and I have needed to make sure that I either have other people that I can hang out with, find panels that I don't mind going to by myself, or just kind of wander around, you know, by myself. But make sure that you go with people who are willing to do that with you, and also be prepared. It's okay if you want to separate from your friends. It is a long weekend. It's a 3-day convention.
I don't take offense if people say,
hey, I'm sick of you and want to go, you know, wander by themselves. I even found that I went to the bathroom just as an excuse to have some alone time.
I have a problem too.
I will mention though, it is always good to have that buddy for a buddy system.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you always need somebody with a cell phone for one thing, so you can contact everybody else once you want to meet up together. But a buddy system is always helpful. You always want that one person who's going to stick with you. Even if you want that alone time, sometimes it's good to be alone with somebody else, if that makes any sense.
If there's somebody that you find attractive, show some respect. Just go out there, introduce yourself. If they're wearing a costume that you know, that's a great opener for a conversation. You can just talk about that. Did they make their costume? Did they bought it? Or, like, just talk to them as a person, not go, oh, you're hot. Like, no. Don't make lewd jokes. Be respectful.
That's kind of just like a life lesson in general.
Don't be a dick.
That is like the main theme of the con survival guide, is don't be a dick.
Like, most things, if you don't like people doing that to you, don't do it to other people.
Yeah, as the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy says, don't panic on the front of it.
Yeah.
The Khan Survival Guide says, don't be a dick on the front of it. lastly, I think that we should cover this topic before we end our Tamagotchi, which is when you do schedule things. Because we talked about, you know, having the cell phone friend, you know, to call people to meet up and stuff like that. Well, okay, you plan stuff and it never happens. Let's be honest. It never happens. Very rarely does it happen. Yeah. Hey, we're in the dealer's room. Do you want to meet up? Nope.
Well, you say yes, but then you just never show up.
Yeah. And then when you get there, we're in the artist alley now. What is...
Yeah.
But when you schedule stuff, it usually never happens. The best way to do it is to schedule the one thing that you want to do. And if you have time... Us personally, it's never worked for us, but you all try to get together and plan on one thing that you want to do, and then plan for the time where there's nothing happening so you can all meet up again. Just to either check in, whatever, you know, just to make sure that everybody's still alive in the group, do that.
Though, granted, I do believe we're going to try to make more of an effort to have bigger group activities this year.
Which we should, because that's just a fun thing to do. You're there with your friends, you should hang out with your friends. Yeah, you want to do different stuff, but it's also good to be able to hang out with the people that you plan on being with all weekend, too.
Yep.
You know, that's a part of, you know, the con experience
instead
is being...
I don't know, ditching them the entire time to go do interviews the whole time.
Excuse me, I'm sorry.
Hey, we're working this weekend, okay? Okay.
Well, you all know my opinion. I will stay silent on that matter. Hang out with your friends.
Especially the friends that you drag to different things and make them watch gory things even though they don't want to.
You want to.
I do not want
bad
to.
Bad guys here.
I spent that entire convention in my shirt. Thank you very much.
That's what makes it so fun.
But it was a T-Turtle shirt, so you're happy.
That's true.
Like, I got one last thing to say. Like, you know, most people go to a hotel. If you, first off, you know, plan to be in a hotel that's walking distance from the con if you have to. But for people who have to drive to a con, because, like, I'm in Orlando, there's cons every fucking way around me now, so I can just drive to a place. If you carpool, there are some rules about this, too. One, keep in mind there's at least two, three, or four people in one car. Pack accordingly and be respectful of room when going there and coming back and getting all your crap.
Mm-hmm.
Second off, pay gas. Throw in some gas money.
Or crop dust.
They throw in some gas money if you got somebody driving. Rule number three, have the driver's number.
Yes. Yes. Hey, where are you? Oh.
Cause the thing's
I'm on I-4.
Oh, no.
And four, when you don't have to stick close to the driver, but it just goes along with have the driver's number. When the driver says it's time to go, it's time to go. There's no, of course, that's all has to be planned. Like sometimes it's an emergency, or whatnot, but it's not. This is from a personal experience. Hold on, I want to do this. I want to do this. Let me do like because I was in the car with like three other people. Like I was the driver, and this one dude whom I do not. I don't even remember his name. That's how much I hate him. He's broken so many con rules. Like, he tried to, like, me and three other people were ready to go. We were, like, we met up. Like, we had a scheduled time. We're going to meet up. Let's go. Hey, where's such and such? We all call, like, he's doing this. He's doing that. He's doing this. Like, hold on, wait for me. Like, I ain't waiting. I'm gone. And we left them. Granted, this is also, hotel etiquette. This is also, this is a guy that we... He kind of tagged along and kind of invited himself anyway, but it's like, hey, he's never been to this con. It's cool, whatever. We don't mind not spending the extra $50 to have him stay. However, I would have gladly paid $200 to have him not be there.
That kind of ties into the don't hang out with the person who brings you down.
He didn't bring me down because I left his ass. He brought, the car was almost packed with his crap already going to the con. He had a loud alarm, like the old school alarm clock, in the hotel room. He tried to take forever to set up. Like, when you're dressing in costume and cosplaying, plan accordingly, wake up early, get your shit done. If it's makeup, if it's heavy duty, do all of that first. Took forever to do that. We went to the con. We all ditched him because we were just being pretty much a dick. We had our fun. Trying to let everybody know, okay, it's time to go. It's like late, late, late. and we're like starving. Andrew and Jonathan know you don't mess with Glitch when he's hungry.
Cheddar Jack's before recording. Gotcha. We stopped D&D to eat.
And almost flipped the table. But
I have to agree with you, though. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm usually the driver whenever we go places. And typically cons are sometimes an hour and a half away. And when the driver's ready to go, you leave. Because sometimes it becomes comes down to safety of, is the driver awake enough to drive home?
Exactly.
And
let's face it, if we know the traffic around there, we know it's going to be packed if we don't leave now.
Right, exactly. Or, like, somebody has to work the next day, and you just have to be respectful of that. And, like, even though you may be the one that doesn't necessarily, isn't there, as like, isn't looking forward to the con as much, like, you still have to respect who's your ride.
Mm-hmm. But also, at the same time, for the driver, be respectful of everybody else riding with you, too. You got to understand as well that they're having fun. You don't want to just be the dick and say, oh, one bad thing happened to me, I'm ready to go now.
Unfortunately, there are little things that can ruin a con. That's why you need good friends, good times, you know?
Can I throw in some hotel etiquette?
Yes.
Do not, absolutely do not be loud and obnoxious in the hotel room.
Yes, do not do that.
You are not the only people staying in that hotel, and not everyone there is definitely going to be going to the same convention. So they're trying to enjoy their vacation. They don't want to hear you screaming, raving, going nuts next door.
Hey, remember that? Yeah, remember that one year that we had our hotel room and we invited some people back to it, and they ended up bringing like three other people who we had no idea who they were.
And they never introduced who they were, and they also hurt our person who had a cast at the time.
Yes.
Oh, yes. I remember that.
No, actually, I don't think we've spoken to most of those people since.
Yeah, that's just that was just about the worst.
And I just remember that year especially. I just remember a week after breaking my foot, I wanted to elevate my foot on the bed, and the person who was sitting in the chair that I had, I think I just left to use the bathroom, was questioning me as to why I needed to get up. And I'm like, I was basically wanted to flip out and say, who the heck are you? Because
yeah, if you're in somebody else's hotel room, show some damn respect.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. In general, show respect to the other people around you. Because, like, if you're going to
be... Don't be a dick.
Yeah, don't be a... That is, like, the theme of this. Don't be a dick. This is very, very important. If you are sharing a hotel room with other people and your significant other, do not make it awkward.
Because I think I know exactly what you're talking
you
about.
You probably do, because I have a lovely... No. So, especially if there's a group of girls and a group of guys, and the guys are going to be polite and let you use the bed, because that's just the polite thing to do.
That's correct. It's chivalrous.
Don't make it awkward. I had a friend who decided that they were going to say goodnight to each other, and I'm in a bed next to my friend, and her boyfriend gets on top of her and starts making out with her right next to me in the bed.
Wow.
I was horrified. Like, it didn't stop, too. It went on for, like, a couple of minutes. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to take the little bed with my boyfriend. You can take the bed with yours. You do anything, I will kill you. But I needed to get out of that bed because I felt so uncomfortable. That's one of the things I am so proud of. Awkward, though. It's well, no, it's... Okay, Glitch, you don't know me so well. Me and my boyfriend are very good about not making our friends feel like, oh, fifth wheel, or fourth wheel, third wheel, whatever. Like, we are not going to make our friends feel like, oh, they're a couple, they're one person. But I was going to say something else, too. Oh, to your annoying alarm situation. Again, if you have an alarm, it's cool. You're going to wake up. Warn people around you, and don't have one that everyone's going to hate. One morning, I will never forget that I got Rickrolled to wake up.
Nice.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
A guy I used to be friends with did that, and I was like, "Are you shit right now?"
I love how a lot of these con stories start and end with a guy I used to be friends with.
Yeah, yeah. I wasn't even friends with this guy though. That's just like whatever.
I'm pretty sure we've all been to conventions together, and we're still friends. So I think that means we're doing pretty good.
Yeah, right.
No, but
we've all lost it. We've all lost a quote-unquote friend every now and then because of stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, if you spend too much time in close proximity, it also attains to when you need to, you know, it's okay to break apart from your group. You know, you need that time apart because eventually you're going to want to kill that person.
Sounds a good place to get rid of the body.
You won't smell it.
Whoa, you won't smell it. Just bring all your deodorant. Just rub the body in deodorant.
But then they'll find it then.
Hey, they didn't question a completely red hotel room, so.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
What is that wonderful smell?
It's a dead body! Oh!
I think it is time
for some sentimental anime.
Yeah, let's find out what we learned on today's episode of Wicked Anime.
Alright, so what I've learned on today's episode of Wicked Anime is that you can become healthy just by wearing a pooping robot on your shoulders.
Today on Wicked Anime, I learned that hiding a dead body in conventions is not done by good-smelling things. I could have said that better, but, you know, oh well. One take.
I learned that you can sum up a lot of things by saying, just don't be a dick.
Yeah, that is rule number one. Don't be a dick.
I learned today that at cons, it's okay to separate from your friends and not feel bad about it.
Huh. Glitch.
And I learned that body pillow industry is going to take a weird left turn and go even deeper in that dark rabbit hole.
Or own a hole.
And that's sentimental anime.
All right. Hey, I think this is the first episode where everybody has learned something.
Legitimately learned something.
Oh, boy. So, I guess that leads into our fan service, which we actually discussed a lot of the fan service in our regular show with the toy shelf and the Sword Art Online glasses, which leads us to just our email. We got an email from our fan, Scott. And what Scott says, anime about a previous relationship. This is from a couple episodes ago.
Yeah, from our Valentine's Day episode.
That's correct. So he says animes that he counts as couples animes. One is Emu Emu, or just MM here in the States. It is pronounced Emu Emu, though. He actually gave us a pretty good list of some that are like the ecchi harem animes, but he watched it with a couple, you know, so that's pretty cool. Emu Emu, which is one, which is about a guy who is a masochist. Like, he actually gets pleasure from being displeasured, and that makes him sad, which makes him pleasured. Like, so...
Whoa.
Yeah, and I guess it's hilarious. That was one of the ones I wanted to check out. It's actually been on my list to watch, because it's supposed to be pretty funny.
That's how you
and
test now, your girlfriend's kink level.
And now Scott has said, yes, it is funny. It's his favorite out of the list he sent us. Another one he sent us was Demon King Daimyo.
Oh, man. I don't know about that one.
I've started Demon King Daimyo. Another one he said was Baka and Test, which a lot of people have seen Baka and Test. I've never seen it, but I know what it is. And then the last one he sent was Magical Girl Lyrical Nanaho.
Hey, isn't that one of the ones that... Isn't that an idol one?
I'm not sure. I really don't know what that one is.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I recognize the name at least.
Yeah, it's I know that name too. I want to say that I know what it is, but I can't put my finger on it.
Yeah, he says that the it was a little fan servicey for his taste. Like, the list was a little fan servicey for his taste, but because he was watching with somebody else, it kind of helped it out. Actually,
interesting.
Yeah.
So watching ecchi with somebody else could be a good thing,
possibly. And then he also presents to us a new Tapagotchi idea. Okay. Something that we can add to our list for a future thing after the con month, perhaps.
I got the document open right now.
And he says he wants to hear us talk about psychologically disturbing moments in anime and manga.
Moments, interesting.
Shuffle.
So things that have messed us up.
Shuffle.
Watching anime. And yes.
Like us as people, or like individuals, or just in general?
Yes. No, as individuals. Like, I have...
I was already messed up, so I don't know.
Yeah, see, so I do have some stories where that I already know what I'm going to talk about. Like, there have been some animes that I've watched, and then I've been depressed for an entire day after. So, like, stuff like that's just messed me up real bad. I really get into stories sometimes.
Does being angry for, like, an hour and a half count?
Yes.
Okay.
So psychologically disturbing. He did say, he says, one of the things which brought this on thinking that was he was watching Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and he remembered about Nina from the original anime.
Nina!
he says a lot of the things that he's watched, I have watched that was the most disturbing since most of what I watch is a constant amount of disturbing, like Elfin Lied. So,
yeah,
got it. We will do that. I
think we've already jumped onto this discussion, you know.
So I really like that topic, Scott. We're going to add it onto the list. I would expect to hear that after Con Month, because that's a really good idea, man.
I think that was this was a good test run right here in this little moment, and it works. Right, Victoria? Yeah, right.
Yep,
right.
Good work.
No, I don't want to talk about that.
You don't have to talk. You don't have to talk about anything. It's okay.
It's fine. It's fine. You talk when you're ready.
We're here. We're here for you.
They get so much worse.
All right.
They keep bringing up the entire thing.
So, actually, so because we've covered all the other fan service stuff in the rest of the show, that's it. So on to some shameless plugs. If you guys want to discuss the Con Month with us, if you guys want to tell us all about what you think you're...
I want to hear people's... hotel horror stories.
Right? Well, there's hotel horror stories.
That friend that you lost. Come on,
all have... See, I was gonna say that. I was gonna say just that. Like, tell us all about that friend that you hate now because of a convention. Everybody has one. So email...
Add one more.
Email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, at gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post all hilarious different news stories that we find, funny tidbits, updates about our video show on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, that is youtube.com/wickedanimereviews, which is everything you need to know about Wicked Anime, our main hub show.
Subscribe, yo.
Subscribe. Subscribe Woo! To us on YouTube. We love it. We love YouTube. Woohoo! Next, you can find us at SoundCloud.com if you're not listening to this podcast at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime.
Or iTunes.
Or iTunes, where you can rate and subscribe. SoundCloud.com/wickedanime. Finally, we have Tumblr.com and Twitter. And you can tweet at us at YoWickedAnime, where I love Twitter. I just love it. It's so much fun. So many weird things getting tweeted at us.
140 characters. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Tweet, tweet. So, wow. Guys...
That cookie?
No. So that is it for this episode of the Wicked Anime Podcast. We will see you all in the next episode, where we are going to continue Con Month right before we go to Anime Boston. When that episode releases, we will be at Anime Boston. We'll be excited and cannot wait to give you the full con report after that. But for now, it is time to sign off the only way we know how.
Bye.
Fourth wheel, third wheel, whatever. Like, we are not going to make our friends feel like, oh, they're a couple, they're one person. Oh, no. You guys still there?
Yeah.
Yes.
She's not.
Oh, my God, no. No.
Victoria. Don't stop recording. Don't stop recording. Oh, no. Well, it's a good thing that we finished the episode, at least, after. But hopefully she got
the rest of the story.
Oh, dang it, God. I wanted to interject too and just be like, why didn't you like turn around and stare at them and be like,
Exactly, like, you know, a lot could be stopped with, yeah! That's when you just like ABC crowd them, woo!
Oh man, how do we get her back in here?
Let's see if you can call her again.
Yeah, let me, add
the plus sign.
This.
Oh no, she just said, she messaged me, she said her laptop just died.
Oh, no.
No, oh, really?
Messy does save automatically, right?
No.
No.
Oh, no.
She said it just shut down. She says she doesn't know if it's saved.
I'm going to eat some Girl Scout cookies to feel better right now. Because I still have... surprise,
she said she could honestly cry right now.
I'm eating Girl Scout cookies to help myself.
Oh, wow.
Can I finish my cookie?
Wicked, hey! Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.